We all hate that guy, right? It's not just a theological principle that they're standing on, why does he go to the home of a sinner? But rather, it's a personal hatred that comes to the fore. Why would he go to his house? He's a scumbag, Jesus says. I've come to get the lost ones.
From Chicago, it's the Old St. Pat's Podcast, a show that highlights weekly reflections from Old St. Patrick's Church. The driver who wouldn't let you merge so you couldn't get off at your exit. The fellow fan who cut in front of you in line so you missed kickoff. The salesperson on your team who stole your customer. The list of people you might say who are challenging to love can go on and on if you let it. And while these are examples of trivial situations, there are times it can be extremely difficult to push aside our own personal feelings and acknowledge that every person is loved by God, and that it's our job to go out into the world to love people as they are, even the most difficult. On today's episode, Father Pat McGrath reviews two fundamental truths about love that, if accepted fully, will shape the nature of our lives and our world for the better.
The great Enlightenment writer, and as a side note, the great Jesuit hater, Voltaire. You should get worked up about that, but you don't seem to care too much. We can hold a grudge like nobody's business. But Voltaire once famously wrote, in reflecting on faith and religion, he said, "In the beginning, God created man in his own image, and man, ever since, has tried to repay the favor." Voltaire's insight, his observation, was that what we've done with faith is to reshape God to look much more like us, to love the people we love and to dislike the people we dislike. That is, instead of receiving the instruction and the revelation of who God is and seeing that as our very essence, because that's how we were created, we instead, in our flawed, fragile, sinful humanness, try to recraft who God is based on what we see or what we want or what bias we might carry. And so the wisdom of Voltaire's observation is that it's a problem for the people who call themselves companions of Jesus, the Christians, if their lives don't look like Jesus' life. Because the deeper theological problem is we've tried to reshape who Jesus is and who God is for us based on what we want or based on what we see. And so the role of the community, of the church, is for us together in the course of time and in our study and in our prayer together to come together and to hear the sacred scriptures and to be reminded again and again, lest we forget, precisely what God is like. Not the one perhaps that we've shaped in our own image or expectations, but the God who's been revealed through the centuries, and the God who is made so clearly manifest, incarnate in Jesus. And so, lest we get lost in our own blindness of who God might be, these extraordinary readings today are given to us to wonder about, to pray about, and to be challenged by. Hear the poetry of that first spectacular passage from the Book of Wisdom. Pondering the existence of everything and wondering who God really is, the author says, "Everything that is, you love, God. Everything that is, God, continues to exist because you sustain it, O lover of souls." In other words, everything that God creates, and God creates everything, God loves, and God sustains in love, and God never stops loving. Unless you just nod your head and say, "Oh yes, of course, I accept this. I'm with you on that. That makes sense." Think about the person you find it hardest to love. Think about the people or the person you might categorize as an enemy or someone who has somehow taken a stand against you or hurt you deeply, that one, that person, God loves and sustains with the same love that God loves you. You see, the assertion here is this: God, in whose image we have been created, is the source of everything. And God loves it into life. And God doesn't love us because of who we are. God loves us because of who God is. Because God is love that creates. And God creates us in God's image. And therefore, that's who we are in this world. So be reminded by the author of the Book of Wisdom that God loves everybody, calls everybody to conversion and fuller life, wants something more for everyone, including the people you and I find it most difficult, if not impossible, to love or even like. And in case that's too theological or ethereal, the sage advice of the Book of Wisdom, we're given this story from the Gospel of Luke today to ponder. And get into it for a moment if you can. Just imagine this story as Jesus, we're told, is on the move, on the mission, and intending simply to go through Jericho, to make his way through the city on the way, when this encounter occurs with this man, Zacchaeus. And the details are important, it seems, and they ought to feed our prayer a bit. Remember, the purpose of the passage is to remind us who God is and what God is like. And so we're told that Zacchaeus, who is short in stature — now, this isn't a swipe at people who may not be tall. It was not to equate this person and his stature to anything except Luke wants us to hear, perhaps, that he was a small man, that his worldview was fairly small, and that his periphery of his own life was held tight. Because we're told also that he's a tax collector and a louse, a cheat probably, had been cheating the people, and you could not characterize a person as a person with more hate thrown at him than Zacchaeus. The people would have detested this man. They would have felt ripped off by this man. They would have seen him as a traitor, this man. And so we're told Zacchaeus, for whatever reason, wants to see Jesus. And just pause there for a moment. Why? What is Zacchaeus looking for? What is he hoping to see in Jesus? And so he scurries up the sycamore tree, and Jesus engages him, importantly. Zacchaeus doesn't yell out. He doesn't seek attention. He's just trying to observe at a distance. When Jesus looks directly at him and by name calls him and says, "I'm coming to your house. Let's go." And something happens to Zacchaeus in this exchange as Jesus looks at him and says, "I'm coming to you." Notice, Jesus rarely comes to anybody when they've got everything all figured out. Jesus rarely steps into someone's life who's got it all perfect and is ready to present themselves to God on his royal throne. Rather, most of the time, Jesus comes to people on their worst day, on a day of brokenness or desolation. Jesus comes to Zacchaeus, this hated man who's looking for something that he hasn't found in his life, and tells him he wants to go to his house to be with him. And something happens to Zacchaeus as his heart opens up in a conversion. "And I'm going to give everything I've got, half of it all, to the poor, and anybody that I've ripped off, I'll pay him back four times over." It's a conversion. It's a payback. It's a jubilee year for Zacchaeus. But the crowd, you and me, stands at a distance and says, "I hate that guy." We all hate that guy, right? It's not just a theological principle that they're standing on, why does he go to the home of a sinner? But rather, it's a personal hatred that comes to the fore. Why would he go to his house? He's a scumbag. He's made our lives miserable. Jesus says, "I've come to get the lost ones. I'm the doctor who's come to heal the sick ones." So if you've forgotten who the God is, in whose image we have been created. It is the God who seeks out the broken ones, the hated ones, the ones that people find it so hard to love, seeks them out, turns their hearts around, and draws them from the periphery to the center, from the treetop to the center of the community, in healing of the wounds of that little town, of that neighborhood. Everything you create, you love, O God. Even the things and the ones we find it so hard to like, to love, to respect. And so what do? Two takeaways. Given all this wisdom from the Book of Wisdom, given all this beautiful, moving testimony of what Jesus does to the broken ones, hear two truths. You are loved, and you are sent to love. Now, those aren't throwaway lines. You are loved. My limited learning in the course of my life as a Jesuit and as a spiritual director and as a priest is to believe that every one of us at some deep level struggles to accept that fundamental truth, that we are beloved, as the retreat says, that we are accepted as we are in this moment, flaws and fragility and all in sight. This is who God loves, me, you, now, not that day when we've got it all figured out. And when you hear that news, and when you taste it in some small way, and when you believe it at least 10%, then Jesus says, go heal that wound for someone else. Go love the ones that are unlovable. Go to the edges, the peripheries, find the broken ones, and bring them in, and heal the wounds, and be my presence, because you were created in my image, and I sent you here to love and to heal. And we know the grace to live that liberating truth, to be His people.
Time now for announcements and events. Are you early in your career and looking to build confidence when it comes to your finances? Then the Financial Commandments for Young Professionals event is the perfect place for you to learn how to build strong habits when it comes to budgeting, managing student debt, controlling spending to build credit, saving, and investing. Come hear from financial advisors from the wealth management firm Private Vista on Thursday, November 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. Tickets are $20 and cover entry to the event, dinner, and drinks. To register, visit the events page at oldstpats.org. Now that it's November, Deck the Hall tickets are now on sale. Taking place three nights in early December, this beautiful evening includes performances from the Old St. Patrick's Concert Choir, musicians, and an array of special talent from around Chicago and beyond. This year's dates are Thursday, December 5th, Friday, December 6th, and Saturday, December 7th. For all the details and to purchase tickets, visit our special events page. And as a reminder, the OSP Solidarity Market will be held this coming Sunday, November 10th, in the 625 West Adams Building from 9 to 1 p.m., Your purchases will support fair trade vendors from around the world and local businesses that focus on social justice. For more details, visit oldstpats.org. Thank you for listening to the show this week. The homily was originally given at the 5 p.m. Mass on Sunday, November 3rd, 2019, by Father Pat McGrath. For all the info about the organizations mentioned in today's episode, a full list of our live events, and free parking information, visit our website at oldstpats.org. To stay up to date with new episodes, please follow us on Spotify. Find us on Twitter at Old St. Pat's Chicago and on Instagram at Old St. Pat's. I'm Kate Anderson. You've been listening to the Old St. Pat's Podcast.